Hi, you're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and we're lucky to have with us today Perry Marshall, who is a technical sales and marketing consultant, and Perry's helped build companies from the startup phase right up to increasing product sales 2,000%. Now, one of Perry's areas of expertise is Google AdWords, and he's written an e-book called The Definitive Guide to Google AdWords. So I'm going to let Perry tell you all about it. I'd like to first of all say thank you very much for being on the call, Perry.
Sure, thanks.
And maybe we can start off, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an engineer by education. I did that for a few years, and then I got into sales because working out all the minute details of a product development didn't seem to be as interesting as the idea of the product or the market for the product or the person who wanted to buy the product. So that combined with the fact that I got laid off from a job and my wife was pregnant with my first kid and I had to go do something fast, that got me into sales. And so I banged around and struggled mightily for a couple of years as a manufacturer's representative. And then some pieces started to fall in place. And things really started to turn around when I added elements of direct marketing to my sales career. Most salespeople don't do marketing. Most marketing people don't do sales. There's this big disconnect between the two worlds. So you have companies running ads that are irrelevant, not really explaining, not really hitting their customers' hot buttons and whatnot. And then you have salespeople pounding the phone and dialing for dollars. So it's like marketing lives in this ivory tower on the fourth floor. Sales lives in the real world on the first floor. But what started working for me was when I started using the internet, direct mail, publicity, as ways to generate sales leads, and all of a sudden a sales job that was hard became much, much easier. It became pleasurable because that marketing funnel became a filter where I only had to deal with people that were interested in what I was doing. They were qualified prospects, and I was talking to somebody that really wanted what I had. And so that just changed everything.
So you basically cut out all the kind of the wasted time going and talking to people who aren't interested in your product and filtered all them out so you're talking to only the people who have already raised their hand and said, yes, please talk to me.
Yes, and there is nothing more liberating than that for a salesperson.
So you eliminate all the no's.
What? Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Instead of spending 80% of your time dealing with people that aren't for you and 20% of your time actually talking to the right people, when you flip that around, you're four times as productive. And that's, I think that's square one for a really successful sales career.
And your business has taken off using this formula.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're probably skipping about, 6 or 7 years in that little statement, but what happened was, I took a job as a sales manager in a teeny tiny little company. I mean, the word sales manager is probably a little optimistic for what it really was. I mean, we had almost nothing. We had some products to sell, and we had a little trickle of sales coming in, and we had a website, and that was about it. So I had to go find reps and distributors and talk to customers every day, and I was really the frontline sales guy. That was driving everything, and we grew that product business from $200,000 a year, which is for a company in B2B sales, that's almost nothing, to $4 million U.S. a year in the space of 4 years, and we sold the company to a publicly traded company for $18 million. Now, that's a big, long story that I'm not going to go into, but, that was a 2,000% growth curve in what was also a pretty conservative market. We were selling industrial equipment, and that is not a market where anybody's interested in a brand new idea. That is a world where people are only interested in what already is known to work, in things that are reliable. So we were selling new technology in a market like that, and we did it successfully. And much of our success had to do with being very savvy about spending advertising dollars and whatnot. So that company was sold almost 3 years ago, and I left and I hung out my shingle and started a consulting firm. And a comment that I get from people frequently is, well, you seem to sell yourself the same way you teach people to sell with your methodology. And I say, yes, that's absolutely correct. I take my own medicine. If you look at what I do on my website, you know, perrymarshall.com, I use all the same mechanisms to get a customer for myself as I teach anybody else to do in whatever profession they're in.
Excellent. So because you are actually the product in your business.
Well, yeah, my business I am the product, or my intellectual property is the product, but I use the process that I teach in my product to get sales leads, to get interested people, to put people in my funnel, and to grow a customer list. Because really, the bottom line is the most valuable asset that any business has is its customer list. It's more valuable than the intellectual property or the building or the products they sell or the technology they have. And so your entire sales process should be built around building prospect lists and building customer lists and nurturing and cultivating them.
And how would you go about building prospect lists and customer lists? If somebody was right now in business like you were talking about, that's a small company, regardless what industry it is, what would be the best way for them to start building a customer prospect list? Do you use direct mail through the normal post office, or do you start online?
Well, I tend to like to start online because it's fast, but at the same time, because the internet is so fast and has so much immediate gratification, everything, direct mail and other advertising media are increasingly being overlooked by companies. I mean, really, if you're singing your customer's song, it doesn't matter what media you're using. You know, the fastest way, I mean, the absolute fastest way to get customers now is to advertise on Google.
Okay.
I mean, you can literally, you know, in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, you can have visitors coming to your website because they just searched on something, they saw your ad, they clicked on it, they came to your website. And then the whole issue at that point is what I call lead generation. Lead generation is a specific form of advertising, and it's different than what you usually see. Okay, most companies advertising, whether it's their website or whether it's an ad in the newspaper, it's usually a, hey, look at us, we're cool, we can sing and dance. Okay, you know, we are the number one recognized company and blah, 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 blah. Okay, you know, it's kind of like image institutional kind of advertising.
Right.
That is next to useless to a salesperson.
Okay.
Lead generation is not telling them all about yourself. It's not, you know, singing your song and dance and everything. What lead generation is putting a message out there that will get a person who has a problem that you can solve to identify themselves to you.
Okay. And this
okay.
is where yeah.
In other words, if your ideal customer is somebody who, if you sell printing presses, mm-hmm. then lead generation is getting a person who might buy a printing press sometime probably in the next year, since, you know, that's a big sale. That's not a little sale, right?
Yeah.
It would be getting somebody who's probably going to buy a printing press sometime in the next year to say, you know, I'm going to buy a printing press sometime in the next year. And how do you do that? You do that by publishing some kind of information about buying printing presses and exchanging it for their contact information. And so that's lead generation. And so the fastest formula for lead generation is a Google ad followed by a web page that promises them a valuable document or a software download or a piece of information or guide or booklet or something in exchange for the person saying, my name is blah, 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 my email address is blah, and then engaging in a series of steps that courts the person and teaches them what you do and builds trust.
Okay. So then on, we kind of back up, I think that lead generation, that's almost another seminar that we can, can go into, but as far as actually developing the system that's going to bring the leads to the website, then that would be Google AdWords. When you say we're advertising on Google, is it Google AdWords that we're talking about?
Yes.
Can you explain Google AdWords a bit?
Well, when you Google, of course, is the most popular search engine in the world now, and you know, search used to be something that's free, and it's free to the user, but it's increasingly not free to the person getting the listings. When you search for, you know, red shoes on Google or blue raincoats or printing presses or whatever, you see a bunch of free listings on the left and you see paid listings on the right that say sponsored links. And those paid listings, those little ads on the right are Google AdWords ads. And those are triggered by keywords. And advertisers pay not when the ads are shown, but when the ads are clicked on. So it's called pay per click. And so you can go to Google's homepage, you can click on the link that says Advertising Solutions. You go through their little menu, you confirm the link, you pay your $5, you write an ad, you select your keywords, you set your bid prices, and voila, your ads show up within a couple of minutes after you save your information. And now every time somebody types in red shoes or printing press or blue raincoat or whatever, your ad shows up, and when somebody clicks on your ad, they get taken right to a web page that you specify on your website that's going to take that person by the hand to the next step, to the next step, to buy what you have. And so it's direct marketing in the highest speed that ever existed. And then, of course, there's a lot of things you can do. You can write multiple ads. You can test different ads and see which messages get people's attention. You can look at you can change your bid prices. You can have a high bid price and be high on the listing. You can have a lower bid price and be a little harder to find and pay less money. And you get to decide.
So what's the difference? This is, other than the amount of traffic that's being generated, what's the difference between Google AdWords and Overture, which is the biggest pay-per-click?
Well, Overture and Google are the two big guys in the pay-per-click game, and everybody else is much smaller than them. The biggest difference between Google and Overture is speed. Overture takes, you know, 3 days, 5 days, maybe a week sometimes to get what you're doing approved, and you don't have the ability to make instantaneous changes. Google takes 10 minutes and you can make instant changes. And so, you know, like, I'll go to the analogy of a salesperson. If you're a sales guy and you had a sales pitch memorized that you had to deliver every single time, and you know, there are salespeople where that's what they do, or like telemarketing where that's a legal requirement, you know, that they can't just wing it, they or else they'll get in trouble, right? And so if you had a sales pitch and you could only change it once a week, think of the difference between going out and seeing 10 customers today and being able to adjust it every single time. How much closer, how much faster you'd get to an effective sales message by being able to test it and change it and test it and change it. And that's the whole name of the game on Google AdWords is people find it sort of difficult at first because they're dealing with real people in real marketplaces. What they assume to be true about people that are searching for something isn't really true. They're thinking inside their own box. But when you can test things and try different ideas, you very quickly find out what people are really looking for. And it becomes a very market-centric way of viewing the world rather than a product-centric way of viewing the world.
So can you take me through the process? Because I know I fall into exactly the same category that you just said. When people start using Google, they find it very difficult until they get an education by reading your book, actually, The Definitive Guide to Google AdWords, was really kind of what turned me around because I was just going to give up on it. It just wasn't working. But can you take me through the process then of how would I go about writing the ad? Because the ad is so incredibly small.
Right.
We have such a limited space. How do you go about, for example, let's take your printing press example. I want to sell a printing press. How would I go about writing my first ad and creating my keywords? Where does all that come from?
Well, a Google ad, they give you four lines, three lines for an ad and one line to show your URL, your website address. And so between those four lines, you've got 120 characters, and that's your first shot at getting the prospect's attention. And so the first line needs to be keyword oriented. If they're typing in printing press, you know, if they are searching for, I mean, I don't know anything about printing presses, so I'm kind of making
this up. We'll just make it up as we go.
but if they are looking for four color printing presses, and you bid on the keyword four color printing press, then that first line should probably say four color printing presses. The second line should be a benefit. The third line should be a feature, not the other way around. You don't go headline feature benefit. You go headline benefit feature. And the benefit might be never having to replace ink cartridges, or maybe the headline, maybe the benefit is 200,000 copies a minute. Maybe the benefit is zero downtime guaranteed, and then maybe the feature is that it's computer controlled and compatible with, so maybe the ad says four color printing presses, 200,000 copies a minute, computer controlled technology. Okay, now that's just a crude first start, but you have to start with something.
Right.
So you write an ad that says that. Now the real key to Google AdWords is the fact that you can write two ads, not one, and Google will just rotate them back and forth. And so you can write a second ad. You go, well, you know, maybe they don't care about the 200,000 pages a minute. Maybe what they care about is free maintenance contract for 2 years. So you change the second line to say free maintenance contract for 2 years, and everything else is the same. Well, what you'll find is that you go, wow, I thought that people were interested in 200,000 pages a minute, but my ad that says free maintenance for 2 years gets twice as many clicks as the other one. Well, that tells you something very important. It tells you what the most immediate, impulsive thing you can say to get somebody's attention actually is. And so you run that for a while, and your second ad got 30 clicks, and your first ad only got 15 in the same period of time. The second one got 2% click-through rate. The other one only got 1% click-through rate. So what you do is you delete the inferior one, and you go write another one to try to beat the old one. Well, you know, you try this 5 or 10 times, which is, by the way, very easy to do. It's just like delete, make a new one, delete, create a new one. Your click-through rates go up and up and up. Your cost per click goes down because Google rewards you for having a high click-through rate by allowing you to bid less money and still have the same position. And you slowly figure out, or actually fairly, I mean, really fairly quick. I mean, it might only take you a week. You fairly quickly figure out what people want. You optimize your ads. Your price of advertising goes down, and Google rewards you for showing people what they were looking for in the first place. And so the whole process is a method of figuring out what people want and giving it to them.
So the process then of controlling these ads, do you have to track it on your own, or does Google track that for you?
It's all tracked for you. It's all right there in your Google Account Manager, and you can see which keywords got shown, how many times they got shown, how many times the ads got clicked on, what the click-through rate of the ads is. You have complete control of all of that, and it's really a fairly straightforward little account manager they have. It's very clever.
So do these keywords come from a list that you've come up with on your own, or how do you go about getting the keywords?
Well, it's not a trivial exercise at all to sit down and really try to think about what would people type in if they were looking for something like this. A lot of times you can sort of get in your own little box and in your own little industry words, and you don't think of things. But you have to use some creativity, and you might want to talk to your customers. There's also tools out there like WordTracker.info. The WordTracker database is a great keyword research tool. You can go to inventory.overture.com, and you can do keyword research and find out what people are searching and how often they search for it on the Overture side of the business. And those keyword research tools become a very powerful way of finding what people do search on. It's a whole little universe there.
So once you've got your keywords and everything is in place, you've got your ad in AdWords, what kind of a response could you expect? I mean, what kind of responses have you gotten using it?
Well, ads usually get a click-through rate anywhere from like 0.5% to 5%, sometimes more, sometimes up to maybe 10 or so, which means that translated, let's say you have a 2% click-through rate, that means for every 100 people that searched for something on Google, a particular keyword like printing press, that two of them clicked on your ad. And so that's the first metric. But the second one is what happens after they come to your website. And that's where the rubber really meets the road is, some websites, they'll have 1,000 visitors and nobody ever calls or emails. Other websites, designed properly, you could get 20, 30, 40, 50% of the people who come to that website to at least opt in and say, yeah, I would like more information about this, or I'll take your free report, or I'll sign up for your newsletter, or I want a quotation on this piece of equipment, or whatever.
So what have you found is the best way whenever you're designing a web page that you're going to be sending people to from your Google AdWords? Do you try and just simply get them to say, to raise their hand and say, yes, I'd like some more information, or do you try and go ahead and sell them on something right there?
Well, it can be both ways, and I wouldn't say there's any one single approach, but what I would say is that you want to generally ask people to do the very simplest next step. And, it, you know, if you're selling something for $5,000, the simplest next step is probably not giving you their credit card number. The simplest next step is probably talking to you on the phone or downloading a piece of demo software or taking something kind of simple and then working through the sales process one step at a time. And, you know, most companies can't tell you, like, they've never sat down and made a list of what the steps in their sales process actually are. It's something that's just sort of assumed and people go along with it. They might be doing it right, but they've never sat and written it down. Well, when you're doing websites, that becomes very important to know what each step is, because on the web you have to take every step. It's not like having a conversation on the phone where you just sort of intuitively go with the flow. You have to sort of reverse engineer it on the web and think through it one step at a time. And so that's what internet marketing is all about, is it's taking that sales process and turning it into something that's step by step on a web page.
Right. So the first of the process, of course, is your ad, the Google AdWords. But can you give me some examples of ads that have worked as opposed to ads that have not worked?
Sure. One of my clients was advertising, they sell hardware for Ethernet, you know, which is like the blue cable that connects computers in your office. And so they wanted to generate sales leads from people that were interested in Ethernet, so they made a little Ethernet quick guide. And so their ad said, I might be off on a detail here, but it said something like this. It said, Ethernet Basics Guide, or popular, here, I know what it was. It was Ethernet terminology, like a little glossary. And it said popular Ethernet terms, three-page guide, free PDF download, complex terms, simple definitions, and then you just click on the ad. Well, they wrote another version of the ad that just reversed the two lines. It said complex words, simple definitions, three-page guide, free PDF download. Okay? So all we did was reverse the second and third line.
So they reversed the benefit and the features then.
Right,
yep.
And the difference was more than 10x. Like, literally, more than 10 times as many people clicked on the ad that said complex terms, simple definitions first, because nobody cares about a three-page guide or a free PDF download unless they know what it's going to do for them first.
Right.
And see, this is something that in advertising, people would just haphazardly throw something out there. They wouldn't test it, or they wouldn't have an easy way to test it. They would just assume it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And most of the time, whatever they throw out there tends to be wrong. Okay? When you actually test things and you take specific words and phrases and you play with them and you put them out there for people, you find that there's enormous differences in what people respond to. You can change one word or reverse two lines and all of a sudden you get, you know, 50%, 100%, 1,000% more response. This is not unusual. I mean, I repeat, this is not unusual. It's just that most people have never had a chance to see it happen. And
that's
so
method.
It's a very quick method of finding out what makes people resonate. And so you could take all your best, you know, you could test 20 different ads, and you could take the five best ones. You know, probably you're only going to run the best one or two in real life, but then you look at what worked and what didn't work, and that's going to adjust what you say in all your web pages or even your postcards or your direct mail or whatever. It's going to tell you what people want. And, I mean, I think the most valuable commodity in today's global business is attention.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the hardest thing to get of all. You can't even buy attention.
So this really...
You have to earn it.
Exactly.
And so that's the whole key. And we're moving from an age where companies could buy attention to an age where companies have to earn it.
Right.
And so that's the game. So if you're a small business, you're a guerrilla marketer, if you're got a thin budget, if you don't have millions and millions of dollars, that's perfectly okay. Because in reality, when companies have lots of resources and they have lots of money, it just conditions them to think that they're more relevant than they really are.
Right.
So
you can actually use Google AdWords as the basis for finding out what your market is interested in, and then you can further that in your marketing, in your, like you said, in your web pages and your direct mail and everything.
Right.
This goes
if you want to be a state-of-the-art internet marketer, if you want to be better than literally 99% of everybody out there, all you have to do is pay attention to the numbers of people going through those stages and then adjust little things in the middle until you get the results you want. That is how you dominate markets on the internet. I mean, it's that simple. Obviously, there's technical details, and you need a webmaster that can kind of monitor things and give you numbers and test things and whatever. But I mean, that's the essence of it, and that's how the fortunes are made on the web is by just paying attention to those simple things and moving people through the funnel and adjusting the funnel so it works.
And the very beginning is Google AdWords.
I'm not saying that because I wrote a Google AdWords book. I wrote a Google AdWords book because Google was the fastest thing available for doing this. And so the speed at which you can get all this right, it just allows you, I mean, a lot of times the internet might only be 5% of your available market. There may be much more people that you could reach by having a full-page ad in USA Today.
Right.
I mean, you know, the internet is not the center of the universe, but it's the fastest way to get things right, usually, and so it's a place to start. And then you go to these other places after you get your website to work, after you get all this to work, and then all your advertising dollars can really pay off.
Beautiful. So where do we go then? We give your book a plug, because I think after reading this book, it was so helpful for me in getting my Google AdWords to go from zero up to actually functional.
Yeah.
Where can we go to find your definitive guide to Google AdWords?
Well, if you just go to perrymarshall.com, PerryMarshall.com, there's a link there. It says Google AdWords. I've got a free 5-day tutorial that introduces you to the basic concepts, and it's got information on the book, and you know, we're always coming out with new things. We have a coaching program. We're coming out with a video soon. You'll get all that information just by signing up for the 5-day course.
Fantastic. And where do we go? You have another product too that you call the Pajama Jam.
Oh.
How do we find out about that? Maybe you can introduce just quickly what the Pajama Jam is.
Perry Marshall's Late Night Pajama Jam.
Yeah.
This is something that I do roughly once a month, and there's a lot of, you know, if you're a morning person, you'll have to get on one of my other teleseminars. But the Pajama Jam is for the late nighters, or if you're in Europe, it's for the morning people.
That is for morning people.
Yes, because midnight Eastern time is, 6 o'clock in the morning in Europe, right?
Yeah, in a lot of places. In Africa, a lot of places in Africa as well.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, the people in Australia, they like it too, because then it's like in the afternoon or something.
Exactly.
But the Pajama Jam is is I find somebody who's doing interesting things in marketing. Maybe it's some guru, maybe it's somebody in the cutting edge, maybe it's some interesting person I've encountered who's doing unusual things, and we interview them. And you can just call in and listen to the call, and we usually have things to look at, like maybe a presentation or examples or swipe files or something to look at on the web. And it's always a good time, and I guess you were on our last one with John Carlton, which was very well received. Did you enjoy that?
I thought it was fantastic. I think the information that was given on the Pajama Jam really outperforms a lot of the information that's given on a lot of teleseminars because of what you've done, and you just explained that it's a combination of pick up the phone, talk to somebody, but sit in front of your computer, and there's some information that we're going to be talking about that's the stuff that you can actually take away and absorb and follow through with it later. So I think it was extremely beneficial, especially with John Carlton, who's an amazing copywriter.
Yeah, well, you know, we try to get really good people, and hey, there's a lot of folks out there, you know, Terry listening to you or you know, who buy things from me or whoever, who have to do a lot with a little,
yeah,
or maybe are very successful and have a big business, but don't like to just throw money away. And so my interest is coming up with effective, efficient ways of reaching new customers and working smart instead of working hard and using finesse instead of brute force.
And where do we go to get listed to be able to find out when your next Pajama Jam is?
Oh, yes. Well, if you need to get on one of my email lists.
Okay.
Which means if you sign up for the Google 5-day course, you'll get the Pajama Jam announcements.
Okay.
That would probably be the best way. Another thing that some of your readers might like that you can also find on my website, I got a course called 9 Great Lies of Sales and Marketing, which goes into some of the insidious little things that salespeople are taught that aren't true, some of the things that damaged my success early on because what I assumed to be true wasn't. So yeah, we're just trying to stamp out ignorance over here.
Beautiful. You also have information on creating white papers.
Oh, yes. White papers. Some people don't know that term. A white paper is like it's a document that tells you how to solve a problem. It's a company's position on how a problem should be solved. And a white paper is one of the most powerful ways to generate sales leads on the internet.
It sounds very powerful.
And
the name sounds like it's an official document.
Well, yeah. Well, and it should be. I mean, a white paper does need to have valuable information. It's not just a sales pitch. But in the business-to-business world, it's the best way to get interested customers. Like, you know, the guy, if you want a list of people who own printing presses, then write a white paper on how to reduce ink consumption on your printing press and offer it to people, and only people who own printing presses will ask for it. And you'll generate a customer list or a prospect list. So if you sell ink, if you sell supplies, if you sell maintenance contracts or anything like that, now you have a way of generating sales leads. So on my website, you'll find there's a book on how to write and promote a white paper and how to use it to get publicity and sales leads. And so, yeah, for business-to-business salespeople, I mean, this is really essential stuff.
Excellent. You have a lot of different marketing avenues that I think are very different than a lot of people are doing. And I think your techniques that you use, because I'm on one of your mailing lists now as well, and I think your techniques almost follow along the principles of a white paper, where I haven't actually received an email from you that says, go buy this, I'm selling this, this is on special. I've got an email from you that explained to me the guerrilla marketing, how that came about, and you know, the British walking in perfect form being shot by farmers. I mean, that's the kind of email that I think is very refreshing, as opposed to the emails that 99.9% of everybody else is using.
The email box, if attention is the most valuable commodity, an email box is the most competitive real estate in modern business. There is no place more competitive, because people basically, a lot of business people organize their life according to their email box. You'll say to somebody, okay, let's get together, send me an email, and you'll agree... You'll agree to meet at the restaurant by email, because it's written down, and then you stick it in your scheduler, right?
That's right.
And so email is very competitive, and people do not tolerate email that is not relevant and interesting to what they want to do. And if all you know how to do with email is try to pitch somebody, you're dead. Your email list will become less valuable with time, not more valuable.
Right.
If you edify people, if you provide them with useful information, if you tell them things they want to know, then they want to read everything you send them, and the difference is enormous. So
absolutely.
All right.
I think Perry, you and I could have a lot of these conversations focusing on a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you very much for your time, Perry.
Well, Terry, thank you, and I look forward to hearing from some of your members, and appreciate the hard work that you're doing.
Thank you very much. Likewise.
Okay.
You've been listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com and Perry Marshall from PerryMarshall.com. Thanks very much for your time.